that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, it is time once again for another edition of the Curtain Call podcast. My name is Michael Beck, your deputy editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, and I am joined with, as always, one Mr. Jeffrey Benedict. Jeffrey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good tonight, Michael.
Perfect. It's been 2 weeks since we last chatted, so I'm excited to get into that a little bit later in your time with Dave Schofield last week, but we have a very special guest with us tonight. Of course, we're continuing along with our breaking down the Steelers draft picks. Tonight, we're breaking down Quincy Roche with Jake Marcus from State of the U, that is the Miami Hurricanes SB Nation blog. So, Jake, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Michael. Michael and Jeffrey, excited to talk about Quincy Roche. He slipped a little, and yeah, I think you guys got a good one here.
Oh, that is exciting to hear. I think all Steeler fans will love to hear that they got a guy slipping. Were you surprised? Because I know in your personal mock draft, you had the Steelers taking him, but in the second round, were you surprised by a four-round slip from this guy?
Yeah, I was absolutely surprised. I mean, he was – so the Canes had five guys drafted. They had the two DNs who are completely different edge defenders compared to Quincy Roche, Jalen Phillips and Gregory Rousseau, who were picked in the first round. Then there was a long lull, and Brevin Jordan ended up going in the fifth round to the Texans. And then Quincy was the last one left. And there were guys going who, I mean, Chris Rumpf, he plays in the ACC as well, or played in the ACC, played for Duke. He was drafted, I think, in the fifth, maybe early sixth, and he was before Quincy Roche. And that one really had me scratching my head. I think Roche is such a worker, and I think he's going to, at least, and especially compared to last year, he was projected first round after his numbers he put up in Temple. He transferred over. His production wasn't as good. But yeah, I think he definitely slipped, and it surprised me a lot. I overappraised him. I said second round. I would have set a range between second and fourth at the absolute latest fourth. So sixth was, yeah, as I mentioned before, I think he's a steal and fits right in with the Steelers culture, in my opinion, as I mocked him there.
Do you think the fact that Miami put two edge rushers in the first round may have like helped cause him to drop, like players are like, all right, you know, I know teams still look at every individual player, but when you have three guys from one school, you know, one of them ends up dropping down. You can't have all three rated too highly. Do you think that may have caused him to drop more than he should have?
Absolutely. I think, and that's the thing with, you know, trying to evaluate players in the draft. You see busts all the time. You see players who are drafted too high, drafted too late, that end up overperforming where they were drafted. I do think that was a factor because while he didn't play with Rousseau the year before, Gregory Rousseau, Rousseau had such good production the year before, and then he was supposed to be the second D end to Rousseau, but then ended up being Phillips, who bursted on the scene and had a meteoric rise throughout the season. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a factor, and especially, I mean, you look at Phillips going 18th overall, it's like, well, maybe him doing so well on the weak side helped Roche to do well. He graded out 82 for PFF this year. His stats were down. But, yeah, I do think it, when you look at a team in a bubble, besides, unless you're Bama, it's like that team's going to end up it's really tough to evaluate, especially if they're at the same position.
Now, with these, of course, Rousseau a year ago opts out, and then Roche transfers in from Temple. Was there a noticeable difference when he was inserted to the lineup, and did he change the defense in any way? Was it for the better or the worse with him slotting in that spot?
Yeah, no, I think he absolutely did. Now, the year before, the Canes had Jonathan Garvin drafted. I think he went seventh round, and he was lined up on the other side of Rousseau. So I think what they expected was Roche to come in and kind of just be a seamless transition as far as a, you know, Rousseau and Roche on both sides, both pass rushing maniacs and just really good at getting at the quarterback. So I do think there was some scheme type decisions there with Roche coming in. He's a smaller sized edge rusher, but he came in and he was the one constant. So as you mentioned, Rousseau ended up opting out. He opted out in, I want to say it was like right before the season, August or so. And so that was like, oh, that's a big blow to our defense. Rousseau was just, he was one of the best players in the country the year before. And then it was, no one knew how Phillips was going to be. He was an athletic freak. And Roche was that one constant that was like, okay, well, we still have Roche, so he's going to do fine. And then it's really just who steps up to the plate. Couldn't have expected Jalen Phillips to really step up to the plate that much, but he answered the call and he basically seamlessly transitioned in for Rousseau. So I definitely think, yeah, having Roche is just a constant from, even though he didn't play the year before at Miami, he was a constant from, you know, the COVID abbreviated spring practices through the offseason and then up till the season started. And he played DN the whole time, never opted out until the bowl game, but everyone was opting out at that point.
Compare him a bit to Jalen Phillips, because they obviously played on opposite sides of each other. What was their differences in style and how they were used?
So I would say Jalen Phillips is just the wow factor with him, and his ability to get after a quarterback is absolutely phenomenal. He is I'm not going to say he's at the same level as, you know, Chase Young or any of those edge rushers that have come out of the draft early recently. But he is, you know, he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. His biggest issue was staying healthy. He had three concussions at UCLA. He was another transfer, actually. And then he took a year off and then ended up playing this past season. As far as Roche, I would say, I don't know their frames right now, but I would say Phillips is probably around 6'5". And then Rousseau is actually like 6'7" or so. Whereas Roche, he measures between 6'2 and 6'3". So just the length alone, and I think Roche's arms are tiny. He's not coming at you with, you know, he's not going to be J.J. Watt coming over the top and just deflecting balls left and right. He's more of a technician. He has a very good quick step, quick first step. He's able to read. The only problem with that, he tends to get a little repetitive, but he can line up both hand in the dirt or standing up, which is good, because I think if he is undersized, he's gonna have trouble with bigger blockers at the next level. That being said, he did, during the Senior Bowl, he did perfectly fine against Alex Leatherwood. Some of Roche's worst tape actually came against Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech, which was another ACC matchup. He needs to be more consistent, and really he's going to just be a worker. And that's a big thing too, because he'll probably start out in special teams initially, in my opinion. Although I was looking at the Steelers depth chart, they could force his hand, and he might have to end up playing some defense right off the bat, which will be fine. It's just, yeah, he's not going to be getting the lengthy guys setting the edge. You're going to be getting someone who's able to, you know, and I hope it translates out to the next level. And I think it can. It's just a matter of, you know, really putting in the work and being able to master that technique that he got by with in college, both in the AAC and ACC, and doing that at the next level. So, yeah, completely different player, even though they're the same position. That's the beauty about football. You can have the same players at the same positions, and they look completely different. But yeah, he's a lot different than Phillips, and completely different than Rousseau.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned the Steelers outside linebacker depth chart. That's kind of the talk of the town right now, especially online when it comes to this team, is who's going to be the third edge rusher. And Roche's definitely has the opportunity to press for that. But something you mentioned, that he's someone with shorter arms, a little bit on the smaller side. Would you say his technique is polished? Is that what has allowed him to be so successful, especially getting the quarterback in his collegiate career?
Yeah, absolutely. Even though his hands are on the smaller side, or his arms are on the smaller side, he uses his hands very effectively. He's able to really work off the blockers, bigger blockers. I think that there's a few clips from him at the Senior Bowl, as I mentioned, where he was against Alex Leatherwood, who I think went 17th overall, I think he was overdrafted. But still, he's from Bama, so... you never know. He could be a freak, and or he is, but it just depends if he can really play at the next level. But yeah, he absolutely used his first step and his quick hands to really, you know, make Leatherwood not look as good, if not a 17th overall pick for sure. But I think it's actually more of a testament to how good Roche really effectively uses his cadence and is able to breeze by. And that's my only concern. I was looking into his some of his advanced stats before the draft, and he only had, because he's smaller, he only had, I would say maybe he can transition to dropping into coverage. That's another thing. He said at his pro day at the media session that he thinks he has the versatility to play all over the field, but it wasn't like that on tape. And his coach said the same thing. He said he's really been working in coverage. He only played one snap in coverage during that all of last season, according to PFF. And yeah, watching the games, he never dropped back. Even if he says he did and he can do it, he hasn't done it. So it'd be an interesting experiment. And especially, I think he ended up gaining about 10 pounds from when he transferred from Temple to Miami. So he's all about, I think, you know, playing at the line and really, really using that technique rather than trying to be effective in coverage.
It's interesting. He is smaller, but I do want to point out that he is height and weight wise quite similar to TJ Watt in his build. And like you, here you say that he's well known for like his initial first steps and his quickness off the line. And that is a trait the Steelers have looked for in their outside linebackers from Bud Dupree, TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith last year, and Quincy Roche this year. He does have, like you mentioned that depth chart, he has a road open to win that third linebacker spot where he will be in the rotation, where he will be getting on the field right off the bat. Do you think he's ready for that with his technique and skill set? Is he a guy who is a little bit more polished, or is he a player who's a bit more raw that might not be the best, you know, course for him?
I do think he's a little raw. I think a more gradual progression into the lineup, starting on special teams. He had some, I think he had like a couple blocked field goals, a blocked extra point in college. So he's no stranger to playing in on special teams, and he really wants to. He has that do everything attitude where he is willing to, you know, play special teams, do the dirty work. He's not always about the stats, and I think I read a quote actually recently with Steelers media that he was saying that, yeah, sacks are fun, but if he can help the team win, that's what he wants to do. And he definitely had that attitude at Miami. He made it a priority early on to say, I'm not here just to raise my stock. I want to be a leader for the younger players. And I think, yeah, ideally he could work with someone like Alex Highsmith, who he was drafted out of Charlotte last year.
Correct.
And yeah, Highsmith was mostly, he was probably assimilated in fairly early. I think they had to kind of force his hand a little bit towards the end of the season. But he played special teams a lot, probably will be doing less if he's a starter this year. But I think if Roche had an opportunity to learn under, you know, yeah, TJ Watt, who's as good of a person you can learn from, and then Alex Highsmith, who literally just did it, I think that would be a more ideal situation. But yeah, and I said he has a similar frame to Highsmith as well, where that's someone who would be perfect to learn from. I think I actually was looking at highlights where Highsmith's only interception last year was in coverage. It wasn't like a tip ball at the line. So yeah, going back to Roche, hopefully finding a way to get some coverage opportunities. Highsmith seems like a good person to learn from, or at least, you know, get shown the ropes early on for someone who's just done it. And then TJ Watt, who's more of the veteran side of it. That would be more ideal. But yeah, if Roche has to be thrown in, he does have the experience in college. I think he was a full-time starter for at least 2 years. So he has experience. He's not coming in like some players who opted out for all of last season, who there's question marks around, or players who just didn't really get much experience because they were, you know, stashed behind a tough depth chart, which Roche would have been maybe if Phillips ended up based on the scene or Rousseau ended up playing. But yeah, I think I would have preferred if he kind of got a little more of a slow assimilation in rather than, you know, having a, oh, you're getting thrown right into the fire under Mike Tomlin's offense or defense. So, yeah.
To lump on to Jeffrey's question as well, do you think he's a guy that will only need like a year of developing before he could really hit stride, or see someone that potentially might have to take that entire rookie deal, that 4 years to kind of figure it all out before we actually see him reach his potential?
So that's the other thing. He is on the older side for a rookie. I believe he's 23. So the only problem with having to spend his whole tenure as a project is that he's going to end up being 27 by the time he comes off that contract. So I would say maybe a year or two. I believe I mentioned Jonathan Garvin earlier. He basically completely redshirted his first year with the Packers. Which is, you know, another good defense. They have the pieces there to really for him to learn under. Maybe a year or two, I would say, and getting a lot of exposure, getting play time on special teams would be ideal. And then kind of getting a smoother transition once he feels comfortable, or, you know, sometimes you can't really choose when at the NFL level when you feel comfortable if that's when they're going to throw you in. So yeah, ideally he could spend a year or two developing, but the whole 4 years, it would be a bit of a problem, because 27 coming off of a rookie deal would be tough.
What stands out for Quincy Roche on film when you're watching him when you're at the game? What stands out as what he really brings to the team, you know, primarily as what's his strengths, like physically, or, you know, what is he good at? What does he really bring to the team?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say, I mean, he's definitely a leader and a do everything attitude type player, but not to the extent where I wouldn't say he's like the guy who's firing everyone up in the locker room. He seems more of a mannered player. But he really gets excited to play. And the biggest things, yeah, as far as his actual on-field play, just the technique is perfect. It's really a testament to all the work he's put in. And he came from, yeah, a three-star recruit, barely recruited out of high school. I believe he's from Maryland too. So I think I read something that he was a Baltimore Ravens fan before, but no longer that. So he's definitely someone who's actually, I think an interesting juxtaposition is Anthony Chickillo, who was drafted by the Steelers as well. Chickalo was a freak athlete, I think, and a five-star recruit. Was one of the better recruits of all time to come into Miami. And he ended up, he played good in college for sure, a strong player. He's still floating around the NFL, but he tried to get by with just his raw, his athleticism and his basically the talent that he was born with. And that's kind of why he's more of a role player still, despite, I believe, 5 years in the NFL. Whereas Roche is the opposite. He's a three-star. He's going to come in and he's going to do the work, and he doesn't have the athletic traits to get by with what Chickalo had. He's going to have to do more of, you know, the actual working on his technique, perfecting everything, because working around the bigger blockers and with the smaller size, that's going to be my biggest question mark for him. That will have to be looked at. But yeah, as far as his play, really good player. He lined up on the strong side usually. And as I mentioned, he plays it with his hand in the dirt or standing up. So I think he could, that's another plus at the next level.
Now, to go further on what you just ended your thought there, playing the stand-up game, do you think that's going to be a seamless transition for him? Is he someone that can do that every snap, or could there be a little bit of growing pains with that?
I could definitely see some growing pains, unfortunately, just because, you know, he was more of a he actually entered this class as the another PFF grade comparison, that he entered it as in this class as the player with the best pass rush grade. His rush defense is not as good. But yeah, his in this draft class, he was the number one. Last year, actually, with Temple, I think he ended up with the second best grade behind Chase Young. So that just shows you how good of a technician he is and how much he's able to disrupt just based on his ability to have a good first step, swim move, all that. So he has the repertoire to do it. But yeah, I think it's going to be a transition, especially if they're asking him to stand up and then drop into coverage, because he's only had one snap at this past year, according to PFF, in coverage. So that will definitely be interesting to see if he can do that for a prolonged period. But he does seem like a learner, a leader that's willing to really take in and absorb as much as possible. So I do think under Mike Tomlin is just a defensive-minded coach. I think he could definitely take whatever Tomlin really says and try to do as much as he can.
Now, you mentioned he is on the smaller side for, you know, he doesn't have the length and stuff to really be an edge setter in the run game. What does he bring in the run game? Because I understand he's smaller, and I've watched some film on him, and he doesn't have that impressive physical ability to just bully people and bully, a tackle in the game. And yet in Miami, he has 14 and a half tackles for a loss. The year before in Temple, he has 19. What does he bring in the run game that allows him to still make an impact?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a common theme has been that he really, whatever he lacks in athleticism, he makes up for in that grittiness. He doesn't have the wow factor in the run game, especially. He's not going to wow you on his tape with what he does on run defense, just because he doesn't have the stature to really explode through the blocks and get to the backfield. But yeah, I mean, he'll definitely make some arm tackles, even though he has smaller arms. And he plays well as far as just getting to where he needs to be. And he doesn't do it. Yeah, he doesn't do it by wowing, but he does it just by really being a student of the game and getting through the creases and knowing how to establish where he wants to get and what he wants to do on each play. But yeah, as you mentioned, his run attack is not as polished. He's definitely a solid pass rusher, and that's you can tell. Yeah, his tape is just there's a clear advantage when it's a pass play compared to a rush.
Let's do a little exercise with you here, Jake. If you were the Steelers general manager, you're looking at this outside linebacker room. Of course, you got the top heavy guys. You got T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. They play about 85% of the snaps. The remaining 30% typically goes majority to that third outside linebacker. If Quincy Roche truly is the third best outside linebacker on this team, would you be looking at making calls to see if you could add another outside linebacker to this roster so he doesn't have that pressure to play 30% of the snaps in each and every game coming up in this next NFL season?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the market. Are you saying like right now?
Right now, yeah, for this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could handle it. But yeah, ideally, I think the more gradual transition, having a little more help there. I know, yeah, as you mentioned, you guys lost Bud Dupree as well, which is a very tough loss because he's as good as you can get as well, or I mean, at least without the injuries. So yeah, I do think some additional insurance would definitely be helpful, even if it's just a player who can come in on a rotational basis, take off the load a little bit for Roche. I think as much as you can limit what he's going to have to do at this next level, especially as a rookie, is going to be huge. He's going to need to work a lot to end up having to be a real contributor his first year. And yeah, if his hand is forced and he has to, or if the Steelers hand is forced and he has to go in there for a longer period of time, that may hinder his development. So yeah, I think getting someone else right now, I mean, I don't know if there's much out there, but by the free agent market, but yeah, I think getting someone regardless would be ideal.
Okay. If I could change notes, I have a trivia question. It's a pretty bizarre trivia question here though, but okay. It is Steelers related and University of Miami related. It's one of my favorite little stats here from a couple of years ago. Since 2000, do you know what wide receiver has the most receiving touchdowns scored against the University of Miami? Currently in the NFL.
Since 2000. I'll give you a clue.
He doesn't play in the ACC.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't in the ACC.
Okay. So, Big East?
No, it was just a couple years ago.
Oh,
he was
really?
He was an out-of-conference game.
Oh, no.
Currently on the Steelers. I'll give you that one, too.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. If you go back to think the 2017 season, a MAC school came to Miami and pushed them to where it was close at the end. It was looking like they were going to come back and beat them. They had a receiver. He's currently on the Steelers by the name of Deontay Johnson.
I was going to say Johnson.
Yeah, he played. He got two games in 2 years against Miami. He got two touchdowns in both games, which at the time was the lead. But the last two years, Miami's given up some more touchdowns, a lot more receiving touchdowns, and there's some other players up there. But he's still number one in receiving touchdowns against the University of Miami with four in two games out of the MAC.
That's a fun one. Yeah, I mean, he's a good player too. He gets a lot of grief for his drop passes, but he's a strong 2019 pick. He's right up there. That's a fun little tidbit. I like that.
Yeah, I look at when I do film rooms for draft prospects, for when Steelers pick a draft pick, I always go through, look at their career and see like what teams had good defenses or good offenses they played against. And like Miami just stood out. I was like right off the bat, I'm like, boom, Miami. Yeah. And he, I think it was Michael Jackson, corner.
He's a Patriot.
Really good press corner. And he just torched him all game. And I was just like, all right, Steelers got a good one. And they did.
Was that 2017?
Yeah.
Okay. That was Miami's best year too. So he definitely did.
Yeah, that was a really good pass defense. I think he was the only receiver to do 100 yards against them too.
Yeah, we had Jaquan Johnson, I think, was in that class too, who's a safety. yeah, they had a strong team. So that's that's a more impressive stat when you think about it like that too.
Yeah, no, I didn't even know that. I was like, was it Claypool at Notre Dame? Like, I know that like they're not a conference, so like,
no, Claypool. I thought about.
Interesting. I have one more question on Quincy Roche. Last, like we kind of started the show off. You said you did like the fit, but if you could expand on that, how do you like Quincy Roche ending up on the Pittsburgh Steelers?
So yeah, I think it's a really good fit. Just as far as I think the Steelers are willing to utilize defenders in more creative ways than run of the mill or mostly defenses that aren't as savvy with their coaches. Mike Tomlin and I believe it's Keith Butler now, who are the defensive coordinator. I think he can really learn under them. And not only that, I think. We touched on it earlier. Alex Highsmith, who literally just went through the same process and has a very similar frame, he can learn directly from him, both on special teams. Even though Highsmith may take a reduced role in special teams, he'll learn from what he did as a rookie, as well as TJ Watt, who's as good of a player as you can learn from. I think it's a really good fit. I think my two top fits for him were Steelers, which he ended up with, and the Panthers. And the only reason I would have said the Panthers is because they've been bolstering their defense with, I think last year they used all their draft picks on defensive players. And he was actually, he had ties with Matt Rhule, who's their coach. So there would have been a more personal connection there. He put Rhule coach in the Senior Bowl, and maybe it was a level of comfort or something, but Roche really showed out at the Senior Bowl too, or the practices and the game. And I think that would have been a really good fit too, playing alongside Derek Brown, who's a young defensive tackle, as well as some other guys that they picked up. But no, I think with the Steelers, it's as good of a fit. Defensive-minded coaches, young players, and veterans who he can learn who are similar traits and play styles as him, and just really get after it. And he's the type of player who he'll take in everything. He'll absorb all the information he's getting, and he makes the adjustments, and he's a leader. And as a rookie, that's a huge, huge trait. A lot of players are coming in, just Anthony Chigalow coming in, relying on his talent and athleticism, and has never really, he's a role player. He still plays in the NFL, which is impressive, but he's the talent that he had compared to Roche. I think coming in as a 5-star recruit in high school compared to Roche, who is 2 to 3-star. Yeah, I think Roche is just someone who's going to absorb it and really learn as much as possible, be a leader, and he'll do everything too. And under Tomlin, that'll be something that Tomlin will love a lot.
Jeffrey, is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I'm good.
Awesome. Jake, before we let you go, is there anything you want to plug?
All good here. Go Canes. And one thing I left out this whole thing is for my pro teams, I'm a Patriots fan. So,
oh, kick him out, get out. End the show.
I know I left it towards the end because I knew I might get kicked out.
That's okay. I think we all enjoyed the down year for the Patriots for once. It was just beautiful to watch.
Well,
for
once, yeah.
that's good stuff. Jake, thank you so much. That was an excellent interview.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.
Awesome. Thanks, man. So everyone watching right now on YouTube and Facebook, just hang tight. We will jump into the second half of our show in just a moment. But if you are watching, I guess you're listening on your podcast platforms, click over to part 2 right now.